Good morning, everyone. Please take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to John chapter 8. John 8, beginning in verse 39. Our words for kids this morning, just have one of them, and it is true child. True child, which is actually two words, but it's one word for kids. True child. Well, our plan over the summer is that we're going to pause after this morning going through the Gospel of John, and then we're going to spend our time in the summer looking at we'll just start in Psalm 1, and then we'll just see how many psalms we make it through by the end of the summer, and then, Lord willing, starting in the fall, we'll pick back up in John chapter 9. So that's our plan heading forward here. And I'll try to say this again, but just a reminder of the service time change. Moving everything back 30 minutes, so next week it will be 9 for Sunday school and 10 for the service. But with that, let's pray together before we dive into God's Word. Father in heaven, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your Word. Thank you for this treasure that you have given us. I pray this morning that as we dive into this Word, that you would give us ears to hear. And God, as this is a delicate message, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to apply it properly. I pray for those who need to be convicted, that they would be convicted. And I pray for those that need to be assured that they are a child of God, that you would give them such deep assurance this morning in who they are in Christ Jesus. And would you work all these things according to your power, and all to the praise of your glorious grace. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. How do you know whose child you are? How do you know whose child you are? Well, there's a number of different ways that you can tell whose child someone is. Last name can sometimes be a help. Who you grew up with in your household, that can be a help. Sometimes there's certain physical characteristics that you just look at a person and you're like, you have to be so-and-so's son. For example, when Milo was born, that was a Hiller baby. There was no question that he was a Hiller baby. Or if you ever met my mom, you would know that we belong together because we look alike. You would just know. So there's these certain characteristics that you can tell whose child someone is. But it's more than just physical, there's also mannerisms as well. I don't really spend a lot of time with my dad, but there are some times where I say certain phrases and I do things in certain ways that are exactly like him. No idea where that came, I know where it came from my dad, but it's wow. So there's a number of different ways to tell whose child someone is. Usually, they will be like their parents. Now, with that in mind, another form of easy believism that we need to talk about this morning is this idea that every single human being is a child of God. Have you ever heard that idea before? You don't have to respond to this next one out loud, but what do you think? Is every single human being a child of God? Well, in our passage this morning, Jesus is going to make it clear that not everyone is a child of God, and he's going to teach us the difference between a true child of God and a false child of God. And therefore, as we work our way through this passage, I want you to have this question in mind, and this is kind of a similar thing to what we did last week, but I want you to have this question in mind. How do you know that you are a child of God? How do you know that you are a child of God? Well, in our passage last week, Jesus said some really hard things to some Jews who claimed to believe in him. And he ended, or at least we ended, looking at it in verse 38, where he said that he speaks what he sees from his Father, and they do what they hear from their Father. Now, up to this point in the conversation, he has not made it clear who their Father is. But in our passage this morning, he's going to make that clear. So let's look at this together. I'm going to read John 8, 39 through 59. Please stand as you are able for the reading of God's Word. They answered him, and they is the Jews that claim to believe in him. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And here, I love this line. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is God's holy word. He who has ears, let him hear. You may be seated. So as I said, Jesus had just said in verse 38 that he speaks what he saw from his father. And these Jews who claim to believe in him, they do what they hear from their father. So these Jews respond to him in verse 39 and they say, Abraham is our father. They claim that Abraham was their father. And in terms of natural descent, that's true. They are descendants of Abraham. And in some circles, it was thought that to be a descendant of Abraham would secure salvation. However, Jesus responds to them in verses 39 and 40. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. To be a true child of Abraham, you must do the works that Abraham did. Jesus here is teaching a principle that he's going to come back to in this passage. When it comes to being spiritual children, physical descent does not matter as much as what you believe. Physical descent does not matter as much as how you live. You can claim to be a child of Abraham, but if you don't believe like Abraham did, then you are not a child of Abraham. You can claim to be a child of Abraham, but if you don't live like Abraham did, then you are not a child of Abraham. In the same way, you can claim to be a child of God for whatever reason you want to give, but if you don't live for God, that's proof that you are not a true child of God. So how do you know if you are a child of God? You will look like your heavenly Father in terms of how you live. Jesus says to them in verse 41 that they are doing the works that their father did. He still hasn't told them who their father is yet, but he's kind of building towards it. Now they didn't understand, and they pressed their point even further, and they said to him in verse 41, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Now in the Old Testament, to be a child of Abraham is to be a child of God. And so what they're saying here with the sexual immorality thing is that if they're not children of Abraham, as Jesus says, but they are children of God, then that means they have two fathers and that their mother, spiritually speaking, would have committed adultery. That's what they're saying when they say that there. Or to say it in another way, to be a true child of Abraham is to be a child of God, right? Surely the Jews are children of God, right? Surely Jesus wouldn't argue against that, would he? Well, Jesus begins his response in verse 42. "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." If God were your father, Jesus says, you would love me, for I came from God. Here Jesus says it very clearly, one way to know that you are a true child of God. How do you know if you are a true child of God? You will love Jesus. A true child of God loves Jesus. Now let me be clear here and throughout. I'm talking about evidence and proof that you are a child of God. I'm not talking about ways that you can earn salvation or ways that you can become a child of God. I'm looking at evidence here. A true child of God, you can tell because they love Jesus. And what I love about this is it breaks it down to the motivations of our hearts. It gets rid of all of the false pretenses and appearances, and it gets right down to the heart of the issue. Jesus does not say, if you are baptized, you become a child of God. Jesus does not say, if you grew up going to church, then you are a child of God. Jesus does not say, if your parents are Christian, then you are automatically a child of God. Jesus does not say, oh, everyone is a child of God. But Jesus says, if you love me, that's proof that you are a child of God, because a true child of God loves Jesus. Now, when I think about love, it just makes me think of my children. I love my children with my whole heart, and my love for them stirs up feelings in me that I just can't totally describe. My love for them motivates me to do anything for them. And that's just a tiny picture of what it means to love Jesus. To love Jesus is to love him with our whole hearts. Love for Jesus should stir up in us feelings that we might not even be able to describe. But our love for Jesus is more than just a feeling. Love for Jesus motivates us to do anything for him, including keeping his commandments. To quote Jesus himself in John 14, 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. Do you love Jesus? If not, I urge you to examine your heart to see if you are a true child of God. But if you do truly love Jesus, and I say truly and not perfectly, because it's not a perfect love, but if you truly love Jesus, I want you to leave here this morning with the deepest assurance and confidence that you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God and you have the evidence in your favor, I want the truth that you are a child of God to let everything else in your life take its proper place next to this truth that your identity is in Christ and that you are a child of God. But a true child of God loves Jesus. And Jesus is arguing that these Jews are not true children of God because they don't love him. In fact, not only do they not love him, they want to kill him. Jesus goes on to say in verse 43 that they do not understand what he says because they cannot hear his word. And the Greek here is actually stronger. They do not understand what Jesus is saying because they are unable to hear. They do not have the ability to hear and understand what Jesus is teaching. They do not have ears to hear. Why? Well, Jesus goes on to say in verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." He's been hinting at this a couple of times, but here he makes it clear. These Jews are not his true disciples because their father is the devil. These Jews are not children of God because they are children of Satan. like, whoa, calm down, Jesus. Don't you know, like, we're Midwesterners here? Like, we don't handle that type of strong language. But Jesus is, he's very clear and he's very strong here. And he's teaching us an important aspect of fallen humanity before Christ. We learned this when we were studying Genesis 3, where we learned about the line of the serpent and the line of the woman. We learned that there's only two types of people in the world. You are either in the line of the serpent or you are in the line of the woman. You are either in the line of Satan or you are in the line of the woman, which eventually will come through Jesus. In other words, every single person without Christ, every single person before Christ is a child of the devil. Before Christ, Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. Before Christ, we are unable to hear the words of God. Before Christ, we are slaves addicted to sin. Before Christ, we belong to the domain of darkness. Before Christ, we are children of Satan. And this is why easy believism won't work, because you can't just make a decision to have a different father. Baptism, as important as it is, cannot deliver you from the domain of darkness and transfer you to the kingdom of Christ. Going through the motions week by week, just reciting things and going through the motions, cannot change your lineage. This is why the Bible makes it clear that you must be made alive together with Christ. This is why it is only by grace, through faith, that a person can be saved. This is why God must deliver us from the domain of darkness and transfer us to the kingdom of Christ. This is why we must be adopted into God's family by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus says, you must be born again. And so let me ask you, have you been born again? How do you know if you've been born again? How do you know if you are a child of God? Jesus goes on to say, you will seek your Father's desires. How do you know whose child you are? You will seek to follow your Father's desires. Jesus says that these Jews are children of Satan because they want to follow Satan's desires. And the principle here is that no matter who you are, you want to please your daddy. Deep down, don't we all want to please our daddies? Remember when you were a child or even when you were an adult? Don't you want to please your daddy? How important was it for you as a child to please your dad? How important was it for you just to receive that affirmation from your dad loved you, that he was proud of you, or whatever it might be? We are wired to please our dads. So how do you know whose child you are? You will seek to please your father. Now, if Satan is your father, what this is going to look like is it's going to look like you living to please yourself. If you live to please yourself, if you seek to fulfill those selfish desires in your heart, then you are a child of Satan. If you live in a way that always makes you good, even if it means that you have to lie, that shows that you are a child of Satan. If you make a practice of sinning, as we looked at last week, that shows that you are a child of Satan. But if your greatest desire is to please God, not to earn his favor, but because you love him, then you can have evidence that you are a child of God. And if you have evidence that you are a child of God, then I want to encourage you this morning that your Father in heaven loves you with the deepest love that you can possibly imagine. In Christ, you have the affirmation of God the Father. In Christ, God is glad that you are his child. And so I don't know all of your relationships with your dads growing up, whether you got that affirmation or you didn't. But if you are in Christ, you have that affirmation from God the Father. He is glad that you are his child. So these Jews are children of Satan because they want to please Satan. Satan is a murderer. These Jews want to kill Jesus. Satan is a liar. These Jews cannot even understand the truth. So Jesus goes on to say in verses 45 through 47, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. They do not believe Jesus when he tells them the truth, because Satan, their father of lies, is their father. They do not believe the words of God because they are children of Satan. They are not of God, therefore they cannot hear the words of God. However, Jesus says, whoever is of God can hear the words of God. Now, in John's writings, when he says, of God, that's a way of him saying, you are a child of God. But to not be of God is to be a child of Satan. So clearly, not everyone is a child of God, and verse 47 just destroys that idea forever, that not everyone is a child of God. But how do you know if you are a child of God? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Whoever is a child of God hears the words of God. Now, to hear means not only that you have heard the word audibly with your ears. To hear means that you have an understanding of Scripture. Now, this doesn't mean that you know every detail about Scripture, because this word is living and active, and it is deeper than the Mariana Trench. But it does mean that you are able to understand the basic truths of Scripture. And the more you study, the more that you understand. I remember when I first got saved and I first started reading the Bible, it was kind of like, I don't even really understand what I'm reading at all. But it didn't take long, for it was almost like scales fell off my eyes, and I started to have spiritual understanding. And all of a sudden, because the Spirit was in me, I was able to understand these words. They made sense. That's part of what it means to hear here. But to hear doesn't only mean to have understanding. It means to listen, trust, and obey. Listen, trust, and obey the words. We'll come back to that shortly. But for now, if you are a child of God, you will hear the word of God. So let me ask you, can you hear the word of God? Do these words make sense to you? Do you have spiritual eyes to see? If so, then you can have confidence that you are a true child of God, because a true child of God has been born again and has the Holy Spirit to help us understand the word. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. Well, the Jews didn't like this so much, and they responded in verse 48. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? Jesus clearly and boldly just declared to them that they are children of the devil. And the best that their comeback is, I know you are, but what am I? This is basically what they're saying. They're saying, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks onto you. They're saying, we're not born of sexual immorality like the Samaritans. We're not children of the devil. You are. You have a demon. Now, let's just pause. Can you imagine the audacity of someone to tell Jesus, the Son of God, that they have a demon? That's pretty crazy, isn't it? And this is actually the second time that we've heard them do that. So Jesus responds in verses 49 through 51. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, Jesus clearly doesn't have a demon. He came to honor the Father, but these Jews are dishonoring him. Jesus came to earth to save his people from their sins, not to promote his own self-glory. However, there is one who seeks his glory, and that is God the Father. And therefore, whoever keeps Jesus' words will never see death. Now, to keep here means to persist in obedience. To keep means to continue listening, trusting, and obeying the word. Now, just imagine a soldier getting his orders from a commanding officer. To keep the officer's orders is to continue carrying out those orders until the mission is accomplished. There's a preserving, or I always get preserving and persevering mixed up in my mind. Anyone else struggle with that? Not a preserving, a persevering aspect to keeping. It's this continuing aspect of keeping. You keep it until the mission is accomplished. The true child of God will persevere in listening to the word of our commanding officer. The true child of God will continue in trusting the word. The true child of God will persist in obeying the word. And here again, we see this principle that has come out a number of times, that the difference between a true disciple and a false disciple is their relationship with this book, as we saw last week. And here we see the difference between a true child of God and a false child of God is their relationship with this book, the Bible. What is your relationship with this book? Are you apathetic towards it? Do you not care about it? Is this just another book collecting dust on your shelf? Or is this book your lifeline? Do you completely rely on the words of this book? You know, one way you can tell who a child of God is, although this doesn't work out 100% of the time, but one way you can maybe, generally speaking, tell who a true child of God is just by looking at their Bible. I remember when I first got saved, we were doing a Bible study, and the other gentleman who was with us, and his Bible was just beat up. It was worn. It was torn. It looked like he maybe put it in the dryer and then like left it outside for a week. But he didn't. He took care of it. But he loved those words. His nose was in this book constantly. So you could tell that he was a true child of God just by looking at his Bible. What does your Bible look like? What does your Bible say about whose child you are? Now, that doesn't work out 100% of the time, I understand, and I double case my Bible just so that it wouldn't get worn and torn. But seriously, what does your Bible look like? A true child of God keeps the word of God. And Jesus says, anyone who keeps these words will not see death. Now, this doesn't mean that they won't die. This is referring to eternal life. As Jesus said earlier, a couple chapters ago, he has the words of eternal life. And whoever abides in his word will have eternal life. Whoever keeps his word will have eternal life. And beloved believer, eternal life is going to be far greater than we can like possibly even imagine. So as we continue to persist in the word, let us keep our eyes fixed on Christ. As we continue to keep the word, let us keep our eyes fixed on eternity. Now, this teaching enraged the Jews. They go on to say in verses 52 and 53 that now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered them in verses 54 and 56 through 56. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now the Jews were thrown off by this. Wait, what? They say, verse 57, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years before this. How is it possible that Abraham and Jesus have met each other? Clearly, these Jews do not have ears to hear the word of God. They didn't even know what Jesus was talking about. And so Jesus responds to them with one of my favorite lines in all of the Gospel of John. He says in verse 58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, this is not bad English. This is a profound statement. Before Abraham ever existed, Jesus was. Why? Because he is the great I am. This is our phrase again where Jesus is proclaiming that he is the great I am. He's proclaiming that he is the Lord in the flesh. He's proclaiming that he is the self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal creator and sustainer of the universe. He's proclaiming that he is Yahweh. And before Abraham was even born, Jesus is the great I am. Jesus is Lord. Now this time, the Jews knew exactly what Jesus meant, because they picked up stones to kill him with stones because of blasphemy. They knew what Jesus meant, but they did not know who Jesus was. And here we see how a false child of God responds to the truth about Jesus. They did not love him. They hated him. And they wanted to stone him to death. But Jesus, again, just kind of sneaks away. But when Jesus says this, that before Abraham was, I am, this statement that Jesus is the Lord should bring the true child of God to worship. The truth that Jesus is Lord will bring the true child of God to adoration before him. The truth that Jesus is the eternal God will bring the true child of God to praise. The truth that Jesus is the self-sustaining creator and sustainer of the universe will bring the true child of God to humble worship. And so in this passage, the distinction between the false child of God and the true child of God become clear. The false child of God is actually a child of the devil, Jesus says. The false child of God hates Jesus. The false child of God cannot hear the word of God. The false child of God does not care about these words at all. The false child of God desires to follow the devil. And what that looks like practically is following your own selfish desires. The false child of God does not keep the word of God. And the false child of God responds terribly to the truth that Jesus is Lord. And if any of those describe you, I urge you to take some time today to examine your soul in light of this passage to see if you are a true child of God. However, how do you know if you are a true child of God? The true child of God has been born again. The true child of God loves Jesus. The true child of God hears the word of God. The true child of God keeps the word of God. The true child of God will never see death. And the true child of God worships the great I am. And if these describe you, then my prayer is that you would leave here this morning with the deepest confidence and assurance that you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, just imagine the love that the Father has lavished upon you. It's greater than we can possibly imagine. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we get to call you Father. Thank you for your deep, deep love that you have lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that is who we are. God, I pray for every true child of God here this morning and watching online. God, would you give them the deepest assurance and confidence that they are yours, that they belong to you, that they have your affirmation, that you are glad that they are your children. Would you lavish them with your love, and would everything else in their life, whatever it is that they are going through, would it be put in its proper place next to the truth that you that they are your child? But God, I also pray for those who don't have evidence that they are a true child of God. God, I pray that you would wake them up to the reality that if they are not a child of God, that they are a child of Satan. And God, I pray that you would bring them conviction that leads to true repentance and faith in you. And would they come to you by faith so that they would truly be a child of God? God, would you work in this way through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.